Despite the temptation to simply destroy the journal and other documents, he chose not to, Steiner said. It must have been an incredibly difficult decision for him. But in addition to the journal itself, he had the letter Saint Germain had left for whoever finally unsealed the vault. And, of course, he had ample historical evidence to support the fact that Saint Germain had, indeed, been an Adam himself, that Saint Evelyn had been an Eve. That, coupled with all the public writings the two of them had left, including sections in the testimonies, was enough to stop him from simply labelling the journal the ravings of a mad heretic. And the fact that he knew the books included with the journal had been sealed in the same vault for the better part of 400 years proved they, too, must date from the creation itself or immediately after it. Or, of course, the Archbishop's eyes bored into Merlin's, from before it. Merlin nodded once again. Personally, despite all of the Church's traditional reverence for history and historical documents, he suspected Steiner was probably understating even now the incredible depth of the spiritual struggle that long-ago abbot of St. Gernot's must have faced. The degree of intellectual integrity it must have taken to make and accept the connections Steiner had just summarized so concisely in the face of every single word of the Church's official doctrine was difficult even to imagine. "Forgive me, Your Eminence," he said slowly, "and please don't take this as any sort of attack. But with this journal and the other documents in your possession, you've known all along that the Church's entire doctrine, all of its theology and teachings, are built upon a monstrous lie. Yet, not only did you never denounce the lie, but you've actually supported it."
"You would have made a splendid inquisitor yourself, Merlin," Steiner said, his smile more crooked than ever. "I mean, an inquisitor of Father Pater's sort, not that pig Clinton's, of course."
"In what way, Your Eminence?"
"You understand how to direct questions that force a man to look straightly at what he truly believes, not simply what he's convinced himself he believes. In answer to your perfectly valid question, however, we must plead guilty, but with extenuating circumstances, as I feel quite confident you already understood before you asked. Had we openly opposed church doctrine, proclaimed that every word of the Holy Writ was a lie, we would merely have provoked the destruction of Corris centuries earlier. Perhaps the Inquisition might have settled for simply exterminating those who brought the disturbing message, but I think not. I think too much of Langhorne's and Schuler's intolerance and thoroughness clings to the Inquisition even today."
The Archbishop shook his head.
"I've read St. Gernot's account of what truly happened in the destruction of the Alexandria Enclave, what truly happened on the dreadful night when it was transformed into Armageddon Reef. I do not have the background to understand how simply dropping rocks could have had the effect St. Gernot describes, but I fully accept the accuracy of his testimony. And if the Inquisition of today lacks the racuri, the group of four has just demonstrated that it continues to command swords in plenty. So, since we dared not openly oppose the Church's lies, lest we achieve nothing but the destruction of the only evidence that they were lies, the Brethren of St. Gernot, those of the Brethren who knew the truth at least, dedicated themselves to gradually building a different sort of church here in Corris. Even that much constituted a deadly risk. We recognized that, eventually, the Inquisition would undoubtedly react as, in fact, Clinton has reacted. We hoped it wouldn't be this soon,
and it probably wouldn't have been if Clinton hadn't become Grand Inquisitor. Yet he did, and we'd already pushed too far, made too many changes of which Mother Church disapproved. The truth of the matter is, Merlin, that Clinton has been right all along about the danger Corris poses to his precious orthodoxy. I rather doubt he's felt that way on the basis of any reasoned consideration of the evidence, but his instincts have not played him false where we are concerned.
How much of this did Harald know? Merlin asked quietly.
All of it, Stainer replied simply. He read the entire journal, read the history of the Federation. As for all of us, there was much in that history which he didn't understand, for which he had no context. But also, as for all of us, he understood enough. When you asked him why his grandfather had abolished serfdom here in Corris, he answered you honestly, Merlin. But he could have added that one of the reasons his grandfather believed all men were created equal was that he, too, had read every magnificent word of the Declaration.
And Caleb? Merlin asked the question even more quietly, and Stainer frowned gravely.
And Caleb, he replied, is one of the reasons you and I are having this conversation at this particular time.
At this time?
Yes. One reason is that we are rapidly approaching God's Day, and it seemed appropriate for you to be told the truth before that.